Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Royal Palmcast, or TRP as we sometimes call it. The following episode is a recast of the second of a popular three-part series with attorney Ned Hale about wire fraud in general. It's everywhere, and we're working hard on bringing you brand new informative content very soon. In the meantime, please sit back, relax, and enjoy this popular episode.
Ned Hale, a Fort Myers attorney, knows all about fraud, but it's from the good side of the law. Ned's going to talk to you about how to find the signs of it and avoid it next.
From the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, this is the Royal Palmcast, the show about people and things that realtors, home buyers, and home sellers care about. And now, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Hello and welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed Jim Sandville. We are coming to you from the production studio of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association here in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. I'm here with Jerry Johnson, producer extraordinaire, and a special guest we'll introduce in just a moment. Jerry, how are things with you? Everything going your way?
Yes, we'll say yes.
Yes-ish, is that?
Yes-ish.
We're going with that? Okay, I won't pry. Okay. I know you're a very private man, and we don't want to get into any of that.
That's exactly right, but yeah. On to bigger and better things.
So I want to tell you, we have a very, very special guest today, and we're very excited about having him. He's a known person here around the association. His name is Ned Hale, attorney at law from Hale Law Services. Here in Fort Myers, also in Estero and Sanibel, if my research is accurate. So you have three offices. And Ned is a board-certified real estate attorney under the Florida Bar. He practices real property, probate, and trust law, along with business law, elder law. So a lot going on there, and I'm sure Ned puts it to good use in his law practice. Ned, you are from Los Angeles, California, originally. Tell me about your childhood, your background. Where are you from?
I'm from a suburb of L.A., a very egghead-type suburb, college town called Claremont, very charming, called the city of trees and PhDs.
Trees and PhDs. Wow, PhDs do grow on trees. Well, not for me. But so you grew up in L.A.?
In the suburb, yes, sir.
Oh, is that in the Inland Empire? Or?
It is on the border of the Inland Empire. You are correct. The IE, yeah.
Yeah, well, L.A. is a whole other world, isn't it?
There are about five major airports serving that area. It's huge. It's spread out. And you say you're from L.A., you need to say what part?
Yeah. John Wayne, Van Nuys, yeah. It's a big, sprawling city, but we're here in Southwest Florida, where life is a little bit more calm and ordered.
And the air is much cleaner.
The air is cleaner here.
Vastly.
Really? Things haven't improved there, huh?
Oh, they're still bad. Because what happened is the cars, of course, are emitting less CO2 and smog. Admittedly, cars are much cleaner, but there's so many more people than there used to be.
A lot of people. So at what point did you leave L.A. when you went to college?
I went to college in Chicago, University of Chicago, then went back to L.A. after college, sold apartments for a while, and said, you know what, if you can't beat the lawyers, join them. So I went back to Chicago, went to law school, and then I said, you know what, it's too cold here. So I followed somebody down to Florida, and like most people, I just never left.
Yeah, I can't believe I've been here 5 years. I can't believe it took me so long to move here.
I said to my mother, I said, why wait till I'm old to move to Florida? I'm going to do it now. And I was 28.
I think a lot of us are in that boat, yeah. Now, so you started living, working here. You established your law practice here?
Or, yeah.
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 Right in Fort Myers.
Here in Fort Myers in 05. I worked for another firm for a few years and then hung out a shingle and started teaching classes here at the Royal Palm. Back then it was Realtor Association of Greater Fort Myers and the Beach. And I've been teaching, believe I'm the longest tenured teacher here, if not the longest and the second longest since 03 I've been teaching contracts here.
Wow. Have things changed a lot from then legally?
Not so much. No, not the main issues. The core legal issues are the same. The laws are the same. The difference is the contract has gotten much longer. Things have gotten more complicated now, no doubt. But the core issues haven't changed much in 17 years.
Mm. Now, your practice is specific to Florida law.
Yeah.
How much does it vary from state to state? Is it wildly disparate?
You know, and here's your favorite lawyer answer. It depends. It depends on what sort of law you're talking about. And if you're talking about real estate law, which is what most of your listeners are going to be interested in, there are subtle differences from state to state, but most of the states are pretty consistent in their laws with other states. But the devil's in the details. And if you don't have the details, then you're no good. So I can't do a deed. I can't prepare a deed in Georgia, for example. I'm not licensed there, and I could screw up a detail. Can I say that?
Yes, you can. Okay. I think you just did.
Yeah,
in fact,
just did.
So we're going to go with that. Yeah, you can't mess up is what I'm hearing from
yes.
you. So once you're in a state, you stay within those lines when you practice law.
Yeah, you really do. If you're not licensed in a state, in a particular state, don't be doing anything. Don't interpret laws in the other state. You're just not qualified to. You're being paid a lot of money to understand the laws in the state that you're licensed.
Mm-hmm. Now, that said, I'm sure that there are times when federal law and regulation come into play that where everyone has the same overarching rules.
Of course. Yeah. Federal law trumps, pun intended, state law.
It does trump it. Yes, we do. We do believe that. So in any event, one thing I want to talk to you about, and this is kind of your specialty in terms of teaching here, is fraud, liability, and other such matters. Let's talk about wire fraud in particular. What does wire fraud mean?
The main thing is there are fraudsters out there, some based in the U.S., some based in foreign countries, who have identified real estate transactions, title companies, and attorneys as having a bunch of money. Now, think about, too, Willie Sutton robbed banks because that's where the money is. But banks have a lot of good security protocols in place. Why? Because they're set up for it, they're FDIC'd, and they have all these federal regulations to ensure they have very good security. Most banks really do have good security. However, title companies, who handle sometimes hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, often are just mom-and-pop shops who do not have the same safety protocols in place as a bank. So why would a fraudster or a thief pull a gun, run into a bank, and hold up the teller for $5,000 when he can try to steal money on a real estate transaction for a couple hundred grand? He's anonymous. He's mm-hmm. somewhere in cyberspace. So not a bad idea if you're a crook. Go target title companies and attorneys, and plenty of them are.
Hmm. Now, does a lot of this fraudulent activity come from other countries?
They're not totally sure. I was at a seminar last year where they said there were a bunch of guys that were foreigners that set up in, ready for this, a hotel in Valdosta, Georgia, and they were going all over the country hacking, and we're going to talk about how all of this plays out and how they do it, but the main thing they were doing was hacking and engaging in wire fraud out of a hotel in Valdosta, Georgia. Well, the FBI shut that down, and they probably opened up in, Tifton, Georgia, or, Warner Robins, you know, who knows?
Wow, itinerant fraudsters, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Well, what a lifestyle that must be. So were you talking about hacking into banks, financial institutions?
No. I'm talking about emails. I mean, you want me to go ahead and get into fraud and the most common way it is perpetrated? Well, here's what happens. It generally starts with hackers hacking into the email of a realtor or a title company. Now, how they do it, I don't know. But you know how hackers find ways of hacking into email, okay? They're specialists in it. Could be anything, intercepting an email address plus a password when someone logs into a public site. But that's key. First and foremost, what they'll often do, and I'm talking about real estate wire fraud, real estate transaction wire fraud. So step number one is usually hacking into the email address. And we're going to talk about ways to prevent these sorts of things, hacking and other things. But let me first tell you how the most common and effective way it occurs. Number one, they hack in. Number two, they monitor communications between the agent, the real estate agent. They've usually hacked into usually the real estate agent's email, and they'll monitor, they'll watch what's going on between the title company and the realtor. And then what they'll do is they will try to find out, and they'll be able to see when you're getting close to closing. And then what they do is as you're getting close to closing, they create a fake email address, which is similar to the agent's real email address, and they copy and paste the signature page. And then what they do is they send fake wiring instructions saying, oh, the wiring instructions have changed. They send them to, you know, they masquerade as the realtor saying wiring instructions have changed, and then they give them wiring instructions not to the actual party. It's usually pro seller's proceeds. So they'll say, okay, the wiring instructions have changed. They are then given wiring instructions to a fraudulent account owned by the fraudster. And then what they'll do is they're not stupid, because they know this may be detected by the realtor or the title company or the seller. So then what they'll do is they'll say, oh, by the way, what's going on is, I can't talk to you right now, because they don't want people talking by phone. So they pretend to be the realtor saying, I can't talk right now, I'm going into a meeting. And then what they do is and the best ones that I've heard of, they then will say, they'll then call the title company. Believe it or not, they'll reach out to the title company and say, hi, this is the fraud department from Bank of America, okay? We believe there has been fraud on this account, but we're on top of it. We're monitoring it. We're going to keep you posted, title company, about this. Well, why on earth would they do that? Why would they then literally pretend to be the bank? It's all fake. Pretend to be the receiving bank saying that there's fraud, but don't worry about it. Don't call, we're on top of it. They don't say don't call your bank, but they say we're on top of it. We're taking care of it. We think we've seized the funds. The account's been frozen. We're going to get the money back to you, because eventually the title company is going to find out that there was fraud. Why? Because the seller's going to say they didn't get their money. And they don't want the title company calling the bank directly. So they do a preemptive strike. They say, the fraudster says they're with the bank, could be Bank of America, I'm just using that as an example, and say, don't worry, the account's been frozen. Why would they do that? So they can have more time to transfer the money out of the fraudulent account into another fraudulent account with another bank, so that, number one, the title company doesn't call their own bank. Number two, they don't call the receiving bank, because they figure it's all being taken care of. It's actually sophisticated. It's actually kind of a genius scam. It's actually remarkable. Oh, and people often say, well, these emails, you can tell by fraudsters because the emails have typographical errors or misspellings. Maybe some Nigerian fraudulent scam emails, not these. Oh, and then the phone call from the bank, somehow they get people with regular American accents. They don't sound like foreigners, because they're not. Who knows who those employees are? Maybe they're in on the scam and maybe they're not.
But there are red flags through this process, right?
There are. Number one, let me tell you the best ways to avoid this wire fraud, and that's why we're here. For an agent, first and foremost, stay out of the wiring instructions process. Do not receive or send wiring instructions to or from the title company and any party. Let the title company reach out directly to those parties saying, hey, these are my wiring instructions. The reason I say that is the agent doesn't want to get caught in the middle of all this. The agent can't be a part of these wiring instructions, right? So that's number one. Number two, make sure the title company needs to make sure they get the sellers, because it's usually sellers' proceeds that are being stolen here. They get the seller's wiring instructions up front early in the transaction and don't accept any changes in those wiring instructions, okay, as the process goes on, because that's what they'll do. The fraudsters will hack in and then say the wiring instructions have changed when they really haven't. It's a scam. So make sure there are wiring instructions early on in the process, and the title company should not accept any changes without a serious, serious investigation as to what's going on. Thirdly, make sure you have verified phone numbers for everybody. Never send a wire without verifying okay, the wiring instructions, and that's the key too. You have to phone. If any title company is going to send a wire, they need to have a confirmed phone number of the recipient and phone them to make sure these are the correct wiring instructions and read them out. Banks do that. Title companies do that now. Most of them do. Don't just accept any old wiring instructions.
Now, Ned, as someone who is passionate about educating realtors and other real estate professionals about these things, do you get a sense that most realtors are savvy enough to avoid this stuff, or do they tend to not be clued in as to what's happening?
No, they're not clued into it. They're not clued into it because they don't usually handle the money. All they're doing, you know, is doing their hard work, doing the transaction, and then they get, of course, their check. There is a wire fraud, you know, addendum to the contract that many realtors use explaining all these things. But again, the key is have good verified phone numbers to confirm recipients, okay? Another thing, too, is email hacking. Guess what? I have an email, right? Address, of course. I don't mind telling everybody it's through Gmail. I have something better than two-factor authentication. You know what two-factor authentication is, of course. Before anyone can log in from an unrecognized device, you get a text message, right? Saying, okay, what is the authentication code, and it goes in. I got something better than that that my IT guy told me about. I literally have a physical key that fits into a USB. So in other words, if I go to a new device to log into my email, I can't get in from any device unless I have that physical key. It's like it's a coded key. It fits into USB with a little microchip, and when that key goes in, then it will let me in to my email address on an unrecognized device.
That does sound secure. I wasn't aware that these existed. Do you get these?
Authentication key.
Okay.
Everybody should have one. They're on Amazon. I looked yesterday, ready for this podcast, and they're still selling them. It's an authentication key that my IT guy told me about. 10, 20 bucks, who cares? They're cheap.
Yeah.
And guess where that key is? I'm not going to lose it. You know where that key is? In my safe deposit box. I'm not going to lose that key. I can't lose that key. Then I can't get into my email, right? So you got to have that key in a very, very safe place. It's in my safe deposit box. Try stealing it. You'll have to break into a brick and mortar bank. It's that important to me. To have secure email.
So you don't need to use this every time?
No. Per device. It'll recognize the device. You could use it every time, but that's overly cumbersome. It'll wear the key out eventually.
Sure.
It's per device. And it says, do you want your device to require this key in the future on this device? No, because I have a password locking up my screen, and it's a complicated password too. So you're not going to hack into my screen even if you get my computer. So that's something key that no, pun intended, that no one ever talks about. I've never even heard of until my IT guy told me about it. It starts with email hacking. Make sure your email's not hacked into.
Very interesting stuff, Ned. Very interesting. I feel like the listeners have already gotten their money's worth out of this podcast. Don't you agree, Jerry?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's I never heard of that either.
No, I'm going to be checking that out.
Go on Amazon. They're all over.
Fantastic.
It says, type in email security key, and there you go.
Who knew? Who knew? Ned knew. That's why we have him here in the studio, because he is going to save us from ourselves, I have a feeling.
Ned knows.
Especially if you're a realtor conducting huge transactions on a daily, weekly basis. It's good to have a lawyer in your corner and someone who can advise you on these matters. I hear some music playing in my head. I sometimes hear voices, but this time it's music. And so that means we're about to leave for a little break. We're just going to take a minute or two. We'll be right back with Ned Hale here on the Royal Podcast.
Hi, I'm Jason Jakis, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Jennifer DeRocher, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Bill Risser, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast with Jim and Jerry. This place is amazing.
I'm going to make you a star.
I'm ready. Where do I sign?
Well, before you sign on the dotted line, let me tell you more.
Listening?
The Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association is looking for members who think they have what it takes to participate in video segments or other media production for the association. Upcoming events, classes, special projects, things like that.
I've been told I have a certain star quality.
I believe it.
Yeah, so what's my next step?
It's easy. Just send an email to shows@rpcra.org with the word audition in the subject line. Simple. We'll reply with all the details, requirements, and forms you need for your audition. We'll review your information and let you know if you fit the part. But keep in mind, this is a real commitment. Writing, rehearsing, you gotta know your lines, recording dates, and real deadlines. And not everyone can be a star, you know. We're looking for actual writing and video samples. So email us today for your audition.
Already doing it. Is green screen one word or two?
You do have a certain quality. Ambition.
Can't talk now. Gotta get ready for my screen test. How much does this pay, anyway? Asking for a friend.
Well, it's strictly a volunteer gig, but it's a great opportunity to get your name out there and may even help you build your business.
That'll work. For my friend.
Yeah. Okay.
If you have what it takes to appear on camera in our productions, we want to hear from you. Any member in good standing who's interested and can meet the commitments and deadlines is encouraged to apply. Go to the RPCRA Facebook page or watch your member weekly update for more information. We'll follow up with you and may even schedule an on-camera audition in our Winkler Avenue studio. We will also ask to see or hear samples of your past work on camera, microphone, or in print.
In Lee County real estate news today, single-family home sales are up 11%.
Brother.
We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor services, resources, and education. We are committed to the success of all of our members and advocate for property rights, both residential and commercial, as we continue our efforts in participating and influencing public policy on local, state, and national levels. Your association also leads the way with community involvement, member engagement, promoting the use of local, state, and national benefits, and more, all of which helps provide a superior realtor experience. With three locations in Fort Myers, Cape Coral, and South Fort Myers, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. Visit our website at rpcra.org and make sure to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media for valuable information on upcoming classes and events.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast here from the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida. We're talking with Ned Hale, who is an attorney, a real estate attorney here in the Fort Myers area. And we're talking about wire fraud in particular today. I'm quickly discovering Ned has so many good tips and some great information. We're going to try to make a two-parter out of this so we can save some of the stuff for the next podcast. It's just too much to cover here, folks, in one podcast. So, Ned, let's get back to wire fraud. Talk to me about some of your best tips for keeping realtors out of trouble in the fraud arena.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about how, number one, make sure you have a secure email, at least two-factor authentication, preferably the physical key I talked about. You can get one on Amazon. Don't lose that key. Number two, stay out of the wire process entirely. Don't transfer, don't email wiring instructions, don't accept any wiring instructions. Tell the agent, tell everybody, your client, that they need to talk to the title company about it. The key thing, if I could point to one thing, it's phone call confirmation. Get a good phone number up front early in the transaction. The title company needs to, everybody needs to verify anything financial. Because if you verify by phone, usually, and you're talking to a human, usually that's much safer. The other thing we didn't talk much about that's another important thing too, and it's basically true with wire fraud, any type of fraud in real estate business. The real estate transaction is complicated. There's a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. It's a lot of moving parts. Everything goes through the title agent, and the fraudsters, what they will generally do is push everybody, hurry, 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 now, where's the money, where's the money, where's the money, send email after email, hurry, hurry, hurry. They don't want you to slow down to try to figure out what happened. A common statement among title agents that have been scammed is, it seemed like something was wrong, I just couldn't put my finger on it, and I had all kinds of pressure to disperse, to close, and all of that. And that pressure exists even when there's no fraud, so we're used to that pressure. So I'm just saying to you, sometimes you just have to slow down. Everybody stop, and you have to decide as the title agent and as the real estate agent too. You don't want to get involved in this kind of stuff or have your customer be a victim of it. You need to understand that this is big money involved here. Mm. They're not out, you know, these scammers aren't usually, you know, out trying to defraud, you know, small shops somewhere that handle, you know, $2 here and a few bucks there. Big money is involved, and you need to slow down. The bigger the money, the more you need to verify and slow down.
Do you see or hear instances of this kind of fraudulent activity being on the wane? Is it increasing? Where are we?
Here's the interest. It's like whack-a-mole. It was really, really – we were hearing about it all the time in 18 and the beginning of 19. Second half of 19, we barely heard about it at all. Guess what? It didn't go away. Some fraudsters probably got arrested. Some fraudsters probably went out doing other things. But I'm telling you, they always come back. Another scam that's related to wire fraud is fake cashier's checks, and we can talk about that in the next
episode,
segment.
Yeah,
that's another thing that it comes and goes, and that's the thing. These frauds, what they do is everybody is, you know, attuned to it. I think they intentionally go away until the heat turns off, like all criminals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Go away until the heat turns off and then come back. And that's what they do. There is a whole industry of these guys floating around. It's remarkable.
Wow. I guess I am aware that there are bad people like that, but boy, can you imagine if you're selling your house and your life savings investment is there and you lose everything?
It's gone. That's happened to people.
Is there a recourse? What do you do?
Not really. You can sue everybody and their brother, okay? And you maybe you'll collect something, maybe you won't, but, you know, the lawyers aren't going to work for free on something like that. No lawyer is going to take that on a contingency.
Mm.
There's no insurance to pay for it either for a title agent. So it is a really, really scary area. And that's why we're having this podcast about it, because it's not going to go away. And by the way, each time the mole comes back, he's wearing a slightly different hat. There's always a twist on it. So when it comes back full throttle, and it will, there'll be another twist. Okay? For example, right now, the conventional wisdom is rely on, what did I say, phone calls to confirm. Who knows? They might find a way to start diverting phone numbers. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
For example, just the last few days, the last week, okay, people have been telling me I'm getting all these spam phone calls again, these robocalls, just in general, okay, friends have told me. And those went away for a while. I mean, we were all getting them a year ago. Now friends are telling me they're getting a few more. I'm getting a couple more, and I just hang up on them. They're just robocalls. The point is, they come and go. It's all in waves. And before you know it, the wave is a tidal wave, and it'll take people down with them.
Mm. But you haven't heard of anyone specifically in this market, Southwest Florida, where this happened?
Who's going to tell you?
It's an embarrassment factor.
Who's going
right?
to tell you?
Yeah.
If it's happened to somebody, they're not going to exactly tell you. So who knows? Who's going to tell you?
Take their lumps and move on, huh?
Take their lumps, do whatever, and move on. They're not going to exactly say, hey, do business with me. I've learned a lot from the wire fraud that happened.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that.
Yeah, I can see why that would not be actively marketed by a realtor. But, I just feel horrible for the people involved, the clients of the realtors who are losing everything. It's just unimaginable. Unimaginable. Wow, that's been great, Ned. We've gotten a lot of useful, great information for you, and I'm sure our members and other realtors and others who are in the real estate game, either because they're buyers or sellers, will be very interested to hear this. Really good stuff. We're going to move on now to the part of my show that's really my favorite. It's called the Lightning Round. I think I warned you about this, Ned. In the lightning round, I'm going to ask you about some of your favorite things, some of your personal and professional opinions, and this is where we really get to know you. So right now, we have a security system here that you're about to see. We've got the lightning round questions. They've been sequestered away in a Supra box in Lehigh Acres since noon on Tuesday. Jerry stopped on his way to work today, a little bit out of his way, but he got them. He's going to hand them to me, and I'm going to ask you the questions. These are official Game Show host index cards. They're 3x5. Yeah. Pretty standard cards. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. They're all there?
Yep. Okay. Yep. That's it.
Deck felt a little bit light at first, but I think we got them. All right. Here we go, Ned. We're looking for soundbite answers. When and where was the last time you saw snow?
Colorado 2016.
It's good that you had to think about it for a while. You don't want that to be too fresh.
I was going
to
add the Jeopardy theme there.
Okay, moving on to in the lightning round. Where would you live if not in Florida?
New Zealand.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs are sweeter, but cats are easier.
Cats. He's going with cats. I didn't see that coming. He zagged.
Me either.
And then he zagged. Did you see how that?
Yeah.
All right, this one is multiple choice, Ned. You guys, yous, or y'all?
Growing up, it was you guys in California. Now it's y'all.
Y'all. Of course it is. What's your go-to social media platform?
My 10-year-old daughter says I'm old, so I must like Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah, well, okay. That's pretty popular with the kids and the adults. More with the adults, I think. What's your guilty pleasure?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Nice. Okay, now I want to hear about some of your favorite things, your favorite TV show.
Oh, well, I watch a lot of it, you know.
Oh, I was thinking maybe you'd never watch TV, so you couldn't.
No, couldn't
pull something.
On the contrary.
Give me three.
I watch a lot of... I like Air Disasters. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, I'm a pilot.
You are?
Yeah.
I'm a gyro pilot.
Really?
Yeah. I'm an aspiring gyro pilot.
Aspiring, huh?
Yeah.
Rotary wing?
I'm a rotor head. Yeah. So Air Disasters is my favorite show.
Yeah, good stuff.
Interesting.
Your favorite movie about lawyers or the law?
Go see The Lincoln Lawyer.
No, is that?
That's Matthew McConaughey.
That's a current film?
Last 8 years.
I have not heard of it, so I'm going to check that out.
The Lincoln Lawyer. I'm telling you, it's a good movie.
Hmm. Favorite day of the week?
Friday.
What's your dream car?
I like expensive Ferraris.
Expensive Ferraris.
As opposed to a cheap Ferrari.
Yeah, the cheap ones, they don't cut it for me.
I wouldn't want a cheap one, no.
Certain standards here. Who's your personal hero, Ned?
Who do I most admire in history?
Sure.
Abraham Lincoln.
Very strong pull there. And now I got one more lightning round question. Here it is. You get one bucket list item, Ned. What is it?
I want to fly into space with Elon Musk. That's the ultimate tourist attraction is flying into space.
Yes. Have you seen the Starship that's going to carry 100 people?
I have
seen
that.
The big fat rocket with the big motors and engine.
Yeah. Isn't he taking deposits already?
I believe he is. is it a million or 100,000?
It was high.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Or you can go Blue Origin with Jeff Bezos Branson's got something happening too, I think.
I really think they're onto something, and they're going to get a lot of takers.
That's the coolest thing ever. I agree. All right. It's time to say goodbye here. Ned, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us.
I really appreciate it.
We appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy fighting criminals and the law and that kind of thing. Well, real estate shenanigans, at least. So I want to tell Jerry that I appreciate his being here. We're not going too far away. We're going to do another podcast that will appear as our next episode. We're going to talk more about fraud. Ned will fill us in about some of the other ways that people are looking to steal your money, your reputation, those kinds of things. So I also want to thank all the folks who work here at the Royal Palm Realtor Association, Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, including our CEO, Beata Jones, Jerry Johnson, and the whole staff. Thanks very much for listening, folks. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.